In 2004, Matt Emmons was representing the United States in the air rifle competition. This competition tests your skills at shooting at 50 meters in three different positions, one from your stomach, the second one from your knees, and the last one from your feet. Now, Matt Emmons was leading everybody in going into the final competition, which is from your feet. All he needed to do was actually shoot inside the ring. That was it. And he was so far ahead, he only needed a few points in order to win the gold medal. Well, Matt knew this going in, and he really liked his chances. So he stands at his post. He steadies his breathing. He watches as the target comes into view, and he begins to narrow it in right on the bullseye, and he pulls the trigger, and he hits it. He nails it. Perfect bullseye. He knew at that point that he had won the gold medal, and everybody else knew, too, that it was his to lose. Well, there was some kind of an issue. People were talking, and the judges were having a conversation, and he was standing there just waiting for the buzzer, indicating that he had the shot. It was inside the circle. In this case, it was inside the bullseye, and that he had officially won the gold medal. Well, suddenly, no score came up on the scoreboard, and a buzzer went off, but it wasn't a hit buzzer. It was a miss buzzer. And he started to get kind of really confused because everybody saw him hit the bullseye. Well, while Matt Emmons was standing in lane two, which was his lane to shoot from, he hit the bullseye of the target in lane three. He didn't hit the bullseye of the lane that he was shooting for. He hit the one next to it. Now, I've heard Albert Tate share this story, and I love the quote that he shared afterwards. He said, "Perfect aim, wrong target." Perfect aim, wrong target. And I share this story with you with the understanding that we've been in this series called Bless, and the whole intention is to model our life after the life of Christ, who showed us how to live out a kingdom-minded hospitality, how to be like Christ in the world and to be on mission with him in the world. In fact, the scariest verse for me in scripture, it comes from Matthew chapter 7. In Matthew chapter 7, Jesus is talking about the obedience that we have to do the Father's will in the kingdom and in the world around us. And in that moment, Jesus looks at the group of people who are asking questions about that obedience, and he says, you know, there's going to be many that cry out to me on that day, meaning the day of judgment, "Lord, Lord," and I will say, "Away from me, for I never knew you." I want you to think about this in light of this particular quote, perfect aim, wrong target. You see, my greatest fear for us and for the church is that we're going to have such perfect aim, but we're not hitting the correct target. And you might be asking yourself, okay, well then, Pastor, what is the right target? How do we know which target we're supposed to aim for? Well, Jesus is the one who models that for us. He's the one that shows us and tells us, hey, listen, you know what? It is good to aspire to have perfect aim, but what's even better is to aspire to follow my Father's will and not to aim at the wrong target. And in fact, this series really has helped us to know we are sent people, but how are we sent? Why are we sent? What are we sent or who are we sent to? We've been using this acronym of BLESS, B-L-E-S-S. The B stands for to begin with prayer. When we talk about being a blessing for somebody, we want to begin with prayer. L stands for listen. Once we've identified where it is that we're going and who it is we're going to, then we need to listen. And then the E stands for eat. A couple of lessons ago, we talked about eating our way through the kingdom. We recognize that Jesus ate his way through the Gospels. Food was central to the people, so it should be central to us as well, because that is the place where we're going to dive deeper into relationship with those around us. The first S stands for serving, not just serving corporately, but serving the people that God places in our trust. And then last but not least, you can't spell bless without two S's. The last is share our story. And that's what we're going to focus on today. We're going to talk about serving and sharing our story. Here's the thing that we need to remember. If our world, now I don't mean the globe, I mean our sphere of influence, isn't transformed by the fact that we're in it and a part of it, if it's not changed for the better, then I would probably say that we're doing this wrong. Because the influence that we do have should be experienced by those around us. The scripture tells us to be ready in season and out of season to the hope in which you have. We're going to talk about that more. You see, Jesus calls us to, first of all, follow him. We look at the disciples. He said, come and follow me. He didn't say, come and follow a course or come and follow a description. He said, come and follow me. And the second thing he told them was, and do as I do. Jesus will never ask you to do something that he hasn't already done himself. Blessed is something that he did and he led out of his abundance. And so he calls us to live out of our blessing, to bless those around us and to shape and change the world in which God has entrusted to us. So this is a good place for us to pause, and we're going to stop here and move to the started out section of our talk sheet. Well, if you have your Bibles, I want to encourage you to turn with me to Mark chapter 7. Now, in Mark chapter 7, as you're going there, has a very particular story that's going to help summarize what does it look like to serve and to share. In fact, there's three things that I want to point out to you in Mark 7 that I think are going to be really beneficial for us. And it's the way Jesus served. You see, Jesus served by proximity. He not only served by proximity, but he also served personally. And not only did he serve personally, but he served powerfully. Now, these three things is not something that just Jesus did. It's also something that Jesus was. It's who he is. And he challenges us to do the same. And so I'm going to point out for us the three ways that we can model our own lives after Christ and find how we too can serve the people that are in our proximity, to personally care for them, and then also to do that under a different power and authority than we have on ourselves or by ourselves. So in Matthew chapter 7, we're going to start reading in verse 31. It says, Jesus left Tyre and went up to Sidon before going back to the Sea of Galilee into the region of the 10 towns. A deaf man with a speech impediment was brought to him, and the people begged Jesus to lay his hands on the man to heal him. Jesus led him away from the crowd so that they could be alone. He put his fingers into the man's ears. Then spitting in his own fingers, he touched the man's tongue. This is not hygiene at all. It's not hygienic at all. Looking up to heaven, he sighed and said, "Ephphatha," and which means be opened. Instantly, the man could hear perfectly, and his tongue was freed so he could speak plainly. Now, here's where we're going to kind of break this passage down into three particular places. The first one I want you to notice is that Jesus served in proximity. He served in proximity. And I want you to notice that particularly here and also all throughout the Gospels, Jesus served the people that were right in front of him. In fact, there's only three other accounts other than this account there's four total accounts in the Gospels where Jesus healed somebody without being directly next to them or in front of them or around them or with them. All the other healings that happened in Jesus's ministry happened in tangible ways with tangible people right in front of him. And so they were near, they were close, they were people that he interacted with. And in fact, in Acts 1 verse 8, to the disciples, Jesus challenges them and says, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem. The proximity of their care first needed to be the people that were directly in relation to them in their Jerusalem. And then he goes on to say Judea, Samaria, and the ends of the earth. But who are the people that are in your proximity? Who are the people that God has already entrusted to you to care for? Because that is who Jesus served and loved and cared for first. And Jesus understood what it meant to be sent. Again, we talk about this a lot, about what does it mean to be a sent person? We say at the end of each lesson, we are sent. But what does that look like? What does that mean? Well, Jesus here, yes, he healed the deaf man with the speech impediment. But what was really interesting is he had to travel 80 miles to do that. So he left Tyre and Sidon, and he showed up to the 10 towns, which was 80 miles away. And when he got there, that's when he was able to heal the person that was directly in his proximity. So I say all of that to say that we are called to be a sent people. And when we're a sent people, then we get to the location that God has called us to, and then we care for those that are right in our proximity. So for us, and thinking about proximity, who are the people that God has entrusted to you that is right in front of you and the opportunity to care for them? So I don't want you to miss, too, this really important part in verse 32. It says that a deaf man with a speech impediment was brought to him, and the people begged Jesus to lay his hands on the man to heal him. So what's really interesting about this, the takeaway for us, is that the deaf man with a speech impediment didn't go to Jesus on his own. He was actually brought there by his friends. His friends knew that they just desired to get this man into the proximity of Jesus. See, again, when we think about proximity, we also think about where are people in relationship to Jesus that you're friends with, that you are coworkers with, that you, do life with. And your role is to get them within proximity of Jesus. So it's really important for us to recognize that it was a group of friends that brought them to Jesus. And then when they brought them to Jesus, they begged Jesus to simply put his hands on them so that he would be healed. I love that. I love that part of the story because it's a story of intercession. See, that's what we get to be a part of, that intercession between us and the person we're representing to take to God. And some of us, again, we need to focus on how can we get the people that are a part of our lives that are maybe far from Jesus in proximity to Jesus. All right, now we're going to go to the second part here. So how did Jesus serve? He served personally. He served personally. Let's look at the example of this in verse 33. Jesus led him away from the crowd so they could be alone. Now, typically when somebody leads you away, that's like in my case was never a good thing. Like there were a lot of times that my dad led me away in church. And it was never because he said, hey, I just wanted to encourage you and tell you you're doing a really great job. Now, obviously, my dad did that. But in this particular case, being led away meant I did something wrong and he was going to have to tell me about all of that. But Jesus led this man away for a really good reason. In fact, this is a really powerful part of the story. Jesus knew that this man grew up in ridicule. He was deaf. He had a speech impediment. People would automatically would have cast him aside and cast him away. And so Jesus knew that by healing this man in front of everybody else, they were going to be more maybe interested in what Jesus did. And or they were going to continue to ridicule this man as he now was going to be able to speak and be able to hear. And so Jesus removes this man from the situation in order to continue to restore his dignity. He understood that there was more than just a physical barrier with this man, but that there was something deeper that was going on. And in fact, he honored him by taking him away from the crowd. And this is our opportunity to learn from Jesus how to serve someone. A lot of times we tend to want to get the big hits and serve somebody in front of a bunch of other people. But the truth is that other person who God might be leading us to serve, they need us to recognize that we want to honor them and we want to show them dignity. And we need to care for people more privately than we do publicly. And again, that's what Jesus did here. And I think that's something that we can learn as well. Now, the third area that I want to point out to you in the scripture here is that Jesus served powerfully. He served powerfully. We're going to look at verse 33 through 35 here. It says, he put his fingers into the man's ears. Then, spitting on his own fingers, he touched the man's tongue. Looking up to heaven, he sighed and said, Ephphatha, which means be opened. Instantly, the man could hear perfectly. and his tongue was freed so he could speak plainly. Now, don't pass over this really important point. Now, I'm not going to ask you to stick your fingers in people's ears or spit on your hand and you know, rub people's mouths with it. That would be disgusting. But I want you to see that Jesus was tapping in to the same power that we have. And the power that Jesus received was from his Father in heaven. And the power that we receive also too comes from the Father in heaven. Now, here's the powerful part of this. I want to point out a couple of scripture for you where we see this happening. In Ephesians 1, we see that there is immeasurable greatness and power to those who believe. In Romans chapter 8, it talks about the same power that raised Jesus from the dead is the same power that is within us. John 14 says that greater things will we do. Jesus told his disciples in John 14 that they will do even greater things. And you tend to think to yourself, how in the world can we do greater things than Jesus? Well, because what Jesus was limited to do in body, he's unlimited to do by spirit. And so in his spirit, he infuses that power and authority into us. And then we now are infused with the same power to powerfully help those around us. And the last one that I want to point out is 2 Corinthians chapter 12. And I love this because it talks about the power of God rests on us in our weakness, right? So we don't even need to have the physical strength in order to have the spiritual strength within us. And the reality is of 2 Corinthians chapter 12, it even talks about not having it all together, not feeling like, again, we had that perfect aim, but we're aiming at the wrong target. So this is a way for us to see when God, through Christ, gives him the power to perform these miracles. And for us too, the miracle of blessing might look a little bit differently, but it's God's power within us. And scripture reveals to us that we too can tap in to that same power. Now, as I said earlier, you can't spell bless with just one S. So the second half of this lesson is about sharing our story. And so verse 36 is another great example of sharing our story. Look at this. It says, Jesus told the crowd not to tell anyone. Now, if you spend any time in scripture, you know multiple times when Jesus heals somebody, he tells them, don't tell anyone. And 9 times out of 10, in fact, I think in scripture, 10 times out of 10, people just can't contain themselves. But the more he told them not to, the more they spread the news. They were completely amazed and said again and again, everything he does is wonderful. He even makes the deaf to hear and gives speech to those who cannot speak. Now, I want you to notice what they said. They said again and again. Over and over again, they kept talking about how wonderful Jesus is. They were testifying to what Jesus did, not even in themselves, but what he did in this man's life. Now, this is important. This is key because we too should have been impacted so much by Jesus that we too just say again and again, look at what Jesus has done for me, or even pointing to someone else like this deaf man. You know, he was healed by Jesus and we can testify to, wow, look at what my God can do even through others. Now, what's interesting here is that this miracle happened in private. Remember what we just read. Jesus took the man aside. He took him in privately and he healed the man privately. So how in the world did the crowd know about what was going on? Because there was proof in the transformation. Now catch this. There was proof in the transformation. He came away from that private meeting with Jesus, and all of a sudden he could hear everybody. He could speak clearly and plainly, and everybody's like, oh my goodness, this man was transformed. You see, that's the thing, what Jesus does in private, we pray that it becomes something that we share in public. That's the goal. That's what testimony is. That's what sharing our story is. There's proof in the transformation. And see, here's the thing. there's a difference between who the man was and who the man is now. There is a difference. And that's what happens when Jesus transforms our life. People are transformed. In fact, I want you to hear me say this. Transformed people transform people. We need to be people of transformation. Has God gotten a hold of your life in such a way that even though the way that God deals with you is privately, what transformation has that wrought in you? Has that made in you to be able to share that publicly? Wow, look at what God has done in my life. Because that is your story and that is your testimony. Well, we're going to pause here and we're going to move to now the talk it out section of our talk sheet. Well, out of all this conversation, I think that there's one thing that we really need to land on. This series has been very much leaning towards those who have a relationship with Christ, those who are in the church, those who are blessed to be a blessing. And you've heard me share a couple of times through this lesson that this is a good way for us to live in humanity, you know, and be a good person. But you know what? There's so much more that God wants from you. I've said this before, but it's really interesting to hear. Hell is going to be filled with a lot of good people. Because goodness and being good is not what's going to earn your spot in heaven. That's the whole point of talking about the story of perfect aim, wrong target. You see, we have to live by grace and through faith and recognizing that Jesus is the one who saves us and transforms us. And maybe you're watching this lesson today and you're saying, you know, Pastor Steve, I want to experience that transformation. Because here's the truth when we talk about bless, you can't give it if you haven't received it. You can't give something that you haven't received. And so I want to spend just a few minutes talking about how can we receive this transformational power? Not just that, but how can we also receive the fact that Jesus wants to transform our life? We talked about the three things, proximity, personally, and powerfully. And I want you to hear this now from a different perspective. I want you to hear that Jesus is in proximity to you today. Jesus is in proximity to you today. He's close. He wants to build and have a relationship with you. And Jesus wants to care for you and love you personally. You know, that's the amazing thing about Jesus is he knows exactly how to deal directly with you because you're fearfully and wonderfully made. He knows the hairs on your head. And he knew your name before you even were in existence. And so Jesus wants to love you personally today. And then last but not least, Jesus wants to powerfully transform your life. You see, your testimony and your opportunity to bless is right there. And if you're far from Jesus today, Jesus isn't far from you. You can run all of you want. And in fact, you can choose not to love God, but you don't get to choose not to be loved by God. And so I want to kind of talk to two different people this morning. I want to talk to those who are transformed. And I want you to go and be, for lack of a better word, transformers. Go and transform the world around you. But I also want to talk to the group of people that maybe are far from Jesus. And you say, you know, I need this in my life. I need Jesus to wash away my sins. I need him to make sense of this ugly reality. I need him to help navigate these waters of humanity in this world. And, you know, we've tried to do it on our own, but it hasn't gotten us anywhere. You can't give it if you haven't received it. So I pray that right now, as we talk about, I'm going to lean us towards prayer and talking about how God is right there in our proximity, how he wants to love us personally, and he's going to change and wants to transform us powerfully. Because the truth is, when you've received it, then go be it. That's the hope. When you have received it, then go be it. And you say, go and be what? Go and bless. Think about this. Bless, right? Begin with prayer. Listen. Listen to the people that God has called you to. It's through prayer that God will reveal who it is that he's calling you to, where it is he's calling you to go, and what it is he's calling you to do when you get there. And then eat. Invite somebody into your home. Invite somebody to your table. Invite someone to share a meal together. This can't be a strategy. It's got to be a rhythm of life. And when you've had the opportunity to begin with prayer, to listen, and then to eat with somebody, then you'll have the opportunity to serve. Listen to how you can serve. And then through that serving, we pray that people will ask questions. Why are you so gracious? Why are you so kind? Why are you so loving? And you can share with them your story of how God transformed your own life. That's what I want to pray for right now is that we need to enter into the story of the people around us. We need to enter in, and it's life on life relationship. And again, it's more than having perfect aim. It's hitting the right target. The one that Jesus set up for us. He says, hit this target every time. So what does it look like for you to live out this life of bless? What does it look like for you to live in that rhythm? To pray, to listen, to eat, to serve, and to share. Let's pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, Lord, I believe that there is a group of people that are engaged in this lesson. And they would say right now, confessionally, that they are far from you, that they don't have relationship with you. They love the idea of blessing somebody, but they're doing it for the wrong reasons. Lord, too often we've treated this life as that bullseye game where we've got to hit the bullseye every time. But Lord, help us to point it at the right target. We don't just want to have perfect aim. We want to make sure we're hitting the right target. So Lord, if there are those today that are struggling with this, I pray that they would allow you to transform their life. I pray that they would give you access to their heart, to their mind, even to their strength. That they would be taking the step of faith of saying, Jesus, I need to give this over to you and I want to have a relationship with you. Lord, not only do I want to live a life of blessing, but I want to be blessed in return. So, Lord, would you come mightily in those who are praying that prayer right now? And then, Lord, I also pray for those who have lived this life of faith with you for many years. Lord, too many and too often we get stuck on the ritual and we miss the righteousness. We get stuck on the right and wrong and we miss the good that you have called us to live by and to serve those around us. And so, Jesus, I pray that in deep relationship with you, that it pours out and spills out to those who you entrust to us. So again, Lord, we thank you for this series. We thank you for the opportunity to learn not a strategy, but a way of living, one that was modeled by you thousands of years ago. And it still holds true today. So again, Lord, we praise you and we give you thanks for this in your name. Amen. Well, as we end our lesson this morning, I encourage you to engage in our blessing, to be able to hold out your hands, to receive this word for not just your day, but your week as well. And if you're capable and you're in a place where you can open up your hands to receive it, or if you can say this out loud, I encourage you to make these words a part of your rhythm each week. And now may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. May the Lord turn his face towards you and give you peace. In the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, amen and amen. We are sent.